Another great psalm is Psalm 2, which we might call a typically messianic psalm. It's a psalm that has to do with the coronation day of a king in Israel, possibly David, but then has its ultimate fulfillment in the coronation and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's really, typically, a mini-Christology. We'll see everything from the revolt to the resurrection to the second coming of Christ. We begin in 1:1-3 with the plot against the Messiah or against the king that's being coronated. Lama rakashu goyim ule umim yegurik. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples mutter a vain thing? Notice we have the question followed, then the interrogative followed by the verb ragashu. Ragashu is a cow perfect third masculine plural or third common plural from ragash, to be in an uproar. And goyim is the masculine plural of the singular goy, nation, nations. So why are the nations in an uproar? U le'umim yegurik. U is the conjunction, and le'umim is the peoples. Le'um is people, with the im ending masculine plural. And so why do the peoples yegurik, meditate or mutter a vain thing? Yegu is from haga. It's a lamed he verb where the he has elided or dropped out. It is a cal imperfect third person plural from haga. And so they're muttering under their breath a rik, a vain thing. Here we have the adjective vain. In other words, a thing of naught, they're muttering. It is interesting, in the first psalm, Kiim bitorat Adonai chefso uvetorato yege yomam belaila. But his delight is in the Torah of the Lord, and in his Torah he mutters under his breath day and night. There is a good type of muttering, and there is a bad type of muttering. And here we have the negative muttering of the nations against God's anointed and against the Lord's king. In Psalm 1, we have the positive muttering under the breath of the Torah. So there's the two types, the negative and the positive. So as we go on, these nations are in revolt. This would be some of the surrounding kinglets around Israel in revolt against the king that is being coronated. And again, here we have Hebrew parallelism. Why do the nations, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples meditate a vain thing? Then we go to verse 2. Yit yatsabu malchei eretz verozanim nosedu yachad al Adonai ve'al Mashicho. The kings of the earth station themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Notice Yit Yatsavu is the Hitpael, imperfect, third common plural from Yatsav, to stand up against. And so the Hitpael shows a reflexive idea, or even a reciprocal idea. Together, they're standing up against. That is, the kings of the land are taking their stand against the Lord. Notice Melchei is from Melech in the singular. It's a noun plural, masculine plural, with the tseriyod, in construct with Eretz. And so we have two nouns in construct. The kings of the earth take their stand. Verozanim nosedu yachad, and the rulers take counsel together. Notice the ve is just your conjunction, And rozenim is the participle meaning rulers, from rozen, to rule. The one who rule, or the ones who rule, are taking their stand, nosedu yachad, reciprocally taking their stand together. Notice, nosedu is from the root yasad, to take counsel. Historically, it was wasad. It was a pe-vav verb, and that nun is showing it to be a nifal, and under the nun historically was a pathak followed by the vav, and so we had now sedu becoming no sedu. The aw coalesced and became a long oval, a long holam vav. And so the rulers are taking counsel together, yachad, together, al Adonai v'al Mashicho. Notice, against the Lord and against His Anointed One. Al is the preposition rendered against here, and Yod Hei Vav Hei is looking at the Tetragrammaton, Hashem, or the Lord. Va'al Mashicho, and against, here again we have the conjunction and the preposition, followed by Mashicho. Mashicho is where we get the term Messiah, Mashiach. And notice we have the noun Mashiach, the anointed, followed by the holam vav, which indicates the third masculine singular pronominal suffix. So the rulers are taking reciprocally counsel together against the Lord and against His Anointed One. It is interesting, in the Septuagint we have the phraseology Christon autu. They're taking a stand against Kyrios, the Lord, and against His Christ. The term Christ that we have in the New Testament looks at the anointed of God. And Jesus is the final anointed one that is to be the final king. Here we have an Israeli king that becomes a type of the final king, and that is Jesus. So these nations are taking their stand together against the Lord and against His Anointed One. Ninatka et mosrotemo, venashlicha mimenu abotemo. Ninatka, let us break their bands asunder, and let us cast their cords from us. Notice, ninatka is from the root natak, which means to break something asunder. And we have a nun, so we're looking at a PL imperfect first common plural from the root natak, and it's emphatic with the a ending, and it's a cohortative use of this PL imperfect. Notice we have a shava followed by a pathak, doubling of the tav, which indicates a PL. So let us break their bands asunder. Notice et is the sign of the direct object, and mosrot is a plural with the ot ending of the word band, and we have it seriyod, and followed by a mo, meaning a mo, their bands. And here we have a pronominal suffix, third masculine plural. So the kinglets are saying, let us break their bands asunder. We don't want to be under their authority. Benashlicha mimenu avotemo. And let us cast their cords from us. Notice shalach is from the verb to cast. And here we have a nun with an AI vowel pattern, which is a hifil imperative. a hifil imperfect, cohortative again, first common plural, let us cast from us, notice the min men who becomes min menu. Here again we have the min and the nun assimilating from, the en being a hinge, and en who, the final who, the he has by reverse assimilation gone back into the nun, causing the doggish forte. So let us cause to cast away from us avotemo. Avot is again the plural for the noun courts. Ava, and notice the ot ending, and then the amo puts it in a third, or adds a suffix, third plural, masculine plural suffix onto that, meaning their courts. So what the kinglets are saying is simply, let us break their bands asunder and let us cast their cords away from us. We don't want to be under their authority. We want to be out from under their authority. And this is the coronation day of a king that's being coronated or crowned. Now, it is significant in the New Testament that this very text is applied in Acts 4 to the rebellion against the Lord and at the cross. In the sermon in Acts chapter, or the prayer, I should say, that the believers pray for in Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 25, it reads, who, through our Father, by the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of David, your child said, or we could simply say, who your child David said, who is our Father, through the Holy Spirit. And notice what David says, why do the nations rage and the peoples meditate a vain thing? The kings of the earth station themselves and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So the application then is, for they were gathered together of a truth in that city against your holy child Jesus whom you anointed. Herod and Pontius Pilate with the nations and the peoples of Israel to do whatsoever your hand and your will has predetermined to come to pass. So now look at their threats and give to your servants that with boldness we might speak your word. Notice, when we look at the New Testament fulfillment or application of the first three verses of Psalm 2, we see it applied to the cross and the rebellion that was going on around the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the first step. But then as we move on into this psalm, beginning in verse 4 through verse 6, we see the attitude of Yahweh in heaven. Notice, Yoshev Bashemayim Yitzchak, Adonai Yilag Lamo. The one who sits in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will jeer at them or toward them. Notice, Yoshev is your cow perfect masculine singular from Yashab. Historically, this was a washab, a pay vav verb, but here we have the holim vav to simply show a participial form with the tseri under the sheen. So the one who sits in the heavens, that is God, is not at all shaken by what these kinglets are doing. He is sitting on his throne. He has it all under control. He is sitting in the heavens. Notice Ba Shemayim. Ba is the preposition in with the definite article with the pathak under it, Shemayim, meaning heaven. So he's sitting in the heavens, and he will yishak, he will laugh. This is a cow imperfect, third masculine singular from the root sahak. to laugh. So the Lord has it all under control. The one who's sitting in the heavens will laugh. Adonai yilag lamo. The Lord will mock toward them or will scorn them. Here we have Adonai is simply another way of saying the Lord. It means simply Lord, looking at the Yahweh here in heaven. Yilag, he is actually holding them in derision, in laughter. Mocking at their efforts. Notice la'ag means to mock, and we have a cow imperfect, a third masculine singular from la'ag, laughing toward them, or to them. Notice we have the lamet followed by the amo, a pronominal suffix, third masculine plural, and now it becomes amo in pausal form, right before the end of the verse. The tsere changes to a commas. So the Lord is sitting in heaven, and he has it all under control. He's laughing. All of their rebellious efforts is nothing to him. One of the things we can know is that God is sovereign. And even though it looks like the world is in turmoil, we can know that the Lord is on his throne, always on his throne, even in our own lives sometimes. It may look pretty tumultuous, but it's wonderful to know that we have a sovereign Lord. Now, when we look at this, I'm reminded of our son Todd, who used to Indian wrestle when he was like about 14 with a gentleman that would come over to the house. His name was Fred. Fred was a weightlifter, very strong. And he would act as though Todd was beating him in Indian wrestling. And all of a sudden, he would get this smile on his face when Todd thought he was going to win. And he would just put Todd's arm down, and that would be the end of it. He would sort of start chuckling and then do that, and that would be it. And I've often thought about that when I when I think about a text like this, how the Lord has everything under control. It may look like that he doesn't, but he does, and he laughs at the efforts of these kings to rebel against his purpose. And so as we move on in verse 5, he continues, Az yedaber elemo ve'apo, uvacharono yevachalemo. Then he will speak unto them in his wrath. Notice we have the adverb then. Yedaber is from dabar, to speak. Here we have a PL, imperfect, third masculine singular from Dabar. We have a Shiva followed by a Pathak in the imperfect, doubling of the middle radical that indicates a PL stem. Then he will speak unto them. Here we have L, the preposition, followed by Amo, the pronominal suffix, third masculine plural, in his anger. Ve is just the preposition. Af is the word for anger. And O, the noun for anger. O is the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So he will speak to them in his anger, and he will terrify them in his wrath. Notice, uvecharono yevachalemo. U is the conjunction. Va is simply in. And charon is the word for wrath. And o is the pronominal suffix. So we have the noun followed by the pronominal suffix. Yevahalemo. He will terrify them. Notice vahal means to terrify. And we have a shiva pathak again, which is looking at a pl stem, followed by a pronominal suffix in the third masculine plural pronominal suffix. So, in his wrath, he will terrify them. The Lord has it all under control. And at the moment when He decides, He will bring His judgment against the kings that are rebelling against His effort to install His king upon Zion. And that's what we find then in verse 6, that He's determined that His king is going to reign. Notice it says in verse 6, Va'ani nasakti malki al Tzion har kodshi. But I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Notice the Vav here is the conjunction followed by the pronoun, first person pronoun, Ani. But as for me, I, and it's very emphatic here, because the verb nasakti has the first person singular suffix built into it. We would not have needed ani, but the psalmist is being very, very emphatic. But I, or truly I, have an I have installed my king. And that's very emphatic with the having ani before the verb that has the suffix first person singular built into it. Now, the verb nasak means to establish or install. It's simply the kal perfect first common singular with the suffix of the first common singular in the T. So, I have installed my king. Melek is the word for king, and Malk is is standing in relationship, construct relationship, to E, the pronominal suffix, first common singular. So, I have installed my king, Al Tzion. Al is simply the preposition upon, and Tzion means Zion, and then Har is the noun that means mountain, the mountain of my holiness. Here we have two nouns in construct, har, and kodshi is kodesh, meaning holy. And so now we have my holiness, or the mountain of my holiness. Or we could translate it, my holy mountain. And the kirik yod is your first person singular pronominal suffix onto kadosh. So I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I've determined that my king is going to reign, and nothing that these other kings are doing is going to thwart that purpose of my king reigning upon Zion. Again, notice the determination of the Lord to have His king reign. And as we apply it to Christ, the final fulfillment was that even though we had the cross, Christ is destined to reign. And we're going to see that in the next verses in the resurrection. So as we move on in 7 to 9, the psalmist continues, Asapra el chok, Adonai amar elai, Beniata. Ani hayom yaliticha. I will declare concerning the decree. The Lord said unto me, You are my son. I today have begotten you. Notice asapra is from the root safar, to declare or to tell. And the king is speaking here. And he's giving the words of God to him. And notice, asapra is from the root safar, and it is a PL, imperfect, first common singular with the aleph. And notice we have the hatef pathak, or the composite shiva in that hatef pathak, followed by a pathak, which indicates the PL stem and the doubling of the pay. So, I will declare concerning the decree. El is the preposition, and chok is the noun meaning decree. So I will declare concerning the decree, Adonai Amar Eli. The Lord has said unto me, you are my son. Notice Adonai again, the proper name for the Lord, the tetragrammaton. Amar is just your cal perfect, third masculine singular from Amar. Eli is the preposition El, followed by the pronominal suffix in the Hirik Yod, unto me. Bani Ata, literally, my son. You are. Ben is the Hebrew word for son, and Bani is the noun son in construct with the pronominal suffix, first common singular, my son. So the Lord said unto me, my son, Ata, you are. Notice Ata is the pronoun, second person pronoun, meaning you. So you are my son, Ani, I. Here again, we have the first person, a personal pronoun. I, Hayom, this very day. Today, we could say, this very day. Ha is the day, but it has the idea of like a demonstrative pronoun in usage here, the definite article. I, this day, Yeliticha, I have begotten you. Notice Yeliticha is from Yalad, to beget, and we have the T suffix, so it is the cal perfect, first common singular from Yalad, followed by the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So I today have begotten you. This kind of language is used in the ancient Near East. We find it in some of the Ugaritic writings where basically a king who is coronating, or a god, I should say, who is letting a king be coronated, that is called the day of his begetting. And so when we see this, and then we apply it into the New Testament, it looks at the coronation day of Jesus Christ and is applied to the resurrection of our Lord. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, Paul, for example, in preaching in a synagogue, in verse 33, says these words, because God has fulfilled this to their sons, by raising Jesus, as also in the second Psalm it is written, you are my son. I today have begotten you. And he goes on to say, quote other texts, notice verse 34, and that he raised him out from among the dead ones, no longer about to turn unto destruction. Thus he said, I will give to you the sure mercies of David. He quotes here in verse 34 from Isaiah 55, verse 3 in the Septuagint. And then, because also in another place he says, you will give, or you will not give your Holy One to see corruption. This is a quote, by the way, from the Septuagint, quoting the Hebrew of Psalm 16, Lo ta'azov nash, you will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will not abandon, Lo ta'azov, your Holy One to Sheol. Neither will you give him to see corruption. So it's a quote from Psalm 16. And then it's applied by Paul, and later by Luke, for David, in his own generation, when he had ministered by the will of God, fell asleep and was placed with his fathers, and he saw corruption. But he whom God raised did not see corruption. And then he goes on to preach the resurrection of Christ. Can we say this great text is applied here in Acts chapter 13, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The coronation day of our Lord is the resurrection. That's when Jesus enters into his kingship, having conquered death in the resurrection. And so in verse 8, the psalmist then, back to the psalm, continues, Sha'al mi meni ve'etna goyim nachalatecha v'achuzatecha afse aretz. Ask from me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Notice Sha'al is the Cal imperative, second masculine singular, from Sha'al, to ask. Mimeni, again, is from Min-Meni. Notice the Min, the Nun has assimilated, from. An is the hinge, and E is the pronominal suffix, meaning me, first common singular. So ask from me, and the etana, here we have simple conjunction, followed by the verb natan. Notice this pe-nun verb, where the nun has assimilated into the tav, meaning etana, entana, becoming etana by progressive assimilation in the dogish forte in the tav. So I will give from natan again, kal imperfect, first common singular, the nations, the goyim. Notice goyim is plural again, with the im ending from goy. The goyim, the nations, nachalatecha, for your inheritance. Nachalatecha is from the noun nachala, and notice nachala becomes nachalat in construct with cha, and the segol vowel being a helping vowel, finally to the bring us to the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular, in the Cha. So ask from me, and I will give the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. In your possession, notice Va is just, again, the conjunction, and then Achuzah is the noun, feminine, meaning possession, and now we have it in construct with Cha. So I will give achuzatecha, I will give for your possession. And that ha is just your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular, as we said. So your possessions, the ends of the earth. Ephes is the noun meaning end, and then it's in the plural, afse, with the tseriyod, in construct with the noun aretz, or earth. So I will give the ends of the earth for your possession. It's interesting that Jesus, in the New Testament, is heir of all things. This was never fulfilled by an Israeli king, but it is fulfilled by Jesus. He literally has been given the ends of the earth for his possession, and he is heir of all things. The writer of Hebrews picks that up in Hebrews chapter 1. And as the heir of all things, all you have to do is ask of me, the Father is saying, and I'll give it to you. And that's what has been given to Jesus as the divine Son. From his glorious resurrection, he has now become heir of everything. The ends of the earth are under his dominion. And then in verse 9, Teruim b'shevet barzel kikli yotzer tenapetzim. You will break them, or dash them, to pieces, or break them with a rod of iron. As vessels of a potter, you shall dash them to pieces. So you will break them with a rod of iron. Notice, teruim could have been from ra'ah, a double ayin root, and the final ayin has elided or dropped out. If that is the case, we're looking at an imperfect with the tav, second masculine singular, a cow imperfect, followed by ain, the pronominal suffix, third person masculine plural. You will crush them with an iron scepter.
heteroim.
It's interesting that in the Septuagint, it's translated tir-aim. And that suggests a different root, because in the Septuagint we have poimenes, you shall shepherd them, from poimeno, which seems to be that they had understood this to be a resh, an ayin, and a final hey, which means to shepherd. Now, in the original Hebrew, there would have been no vowels, but evidently they're reading it as tir aim, resh ayin hey, rather than resh ayin ayin. And that's where they get the rendering, you shall shepherd them. It's interesting. It's hard to be dogmatic. It actually could go both ways. And maybe there is a purposeful thought of a double idea, crushing them as well as shepherding them. But at any rate, you shall break them or shepherd them. Beshevet Barzel, with a scepter or rod of iron. Notice be is your preposition, followed by shevet, meaning rod or scepter. And notice it's a noun in construct with barzel, meaning iron. So you will crush them or break them with an iron scepter, kikli yotzer tenapetzim, as vessel of a potter. Notice, as we look at the word ke, it's the preposition inseparable with kali, which means vessel, and yotzer is the participle meaning one who is a potter, a cow active participial form. So, as vessels of one who is a potter. Actually, the word can also be a noun, a potter. So as a vessel of a potter, you will dash them to pieces, tenapetzim. Notice, nafats means to dash into pieces. And here we have a PL imperfect, second masculine singular from nafats, followed by the pronominal suffix, third person plural, masculine plural in the aim. And notice the shiva pathak, doubling of the middle radical in the pay, gives it away as a PL form. So, you shall, as vessel of a potter, you shall dash them to pieces. Here we have the authority scene of the king, that the father that God has given him, that he can judge those that are in rebellion. And when we look at this in terms of the New Testament and its ultimate fulfillment, we find it in Revelation 19 at the return of Christ. Jesus is depicted as coming back on a white horse, and as he is returning, we're told that he will come, and in verse 15, out of his mouth is going a sharp sword, in order that with it he might smite the nations, and he will poimane, he will shepherd them with an iron scepter. So, this is a quote from the Septuagint, rendering this passage as shepherd, and that is the text, the Septuagint text, that John is quoting from when he's looking back at this text. So, if we want to translate it, you shall shepherd them, it would have been tir-aim. And a king certainly shepherds his own people, but can also judge those that are opposed to him and his reign and the rule of his Messiah. And we see that, for example, at the return of Christ in chapter 19 of Revelation. So here we have the second advent of our Lord as it's applied in the New Testament. And that's why I've called this a mini Christology. Because in verses 1 to 3, we see the cross and the revolt. In verses 6 or 7, we see the resurrection and the inheritance in 8, followed by the second advent or second coming in 9, when Jesus comes back to judge. He's already a reigning king via the resurrection, but he's coming back someday as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to judge all of mankind. Then in verses 10 to 12, we come to the end of this great psalm. It says, Va'ata melechim haskilu, hivasru shofetei aretz. And now, kings, be wise. Be instructed, judges of the earth. Notice ve is just your conjunction, and ata is the adverb now, and so now, therefore, and now, I guess we could render it, melechim is from the noun melech, meaning king, and notice im puts it into the plural, masculine plural. So now, kings, haskilu, be wise. The root is sakal, to act wisely. And notice it has a he prefix with a pathak, followed by the thematic hirik yod, the I vowel between the kaf and the lamed. And so what we're looking at is a hifil imperative, second person plural from sakal. So, and now, kings, be wise. Be admonished. And notice right next to it, hivasru shofetei aretz, be admonished, judges of the earth. Hivasru is from the root yasar, to be admonished. Historically, it was a pe-vav form, vasar, or wasar. And notice we have a he prefix, with an I vowel, followed by a comets, and a dogish in the vav. So it's a nifal, imperative, second person plural, from yasar. Historically it would have been hinvasru, becoming hivasru, where that nun of the nifal assimilated into the vav, historically. And we have an IA vowel pattern that gives it away as a nifal imperative. Notice back to back here, we have the hifil imperative in the AI vowel pattern in haskilu, and the nifal imperative in the IA vowel pattern in hivasru. So he's saying be admonished in this parallel verse with the first part, be admonished. Admonished, shoftei aretz, the judges or those who are judging the earth. Notice shofet is judge, and here we have it in construct with the tser yod, so a noun in construct, plural, with aretz. So be admonished, judges of the earth. So now the king, or the psalmist, is telling these kings to cool their rebellion in light of the authority that's been given to God's anointed. And that's what really we would say that the cross of Christ and the resurrection teaches. Let us not rebel against Jesus, the resurrected King. Let us bow down before Him and adore Him and worship Him. And then he goes on in verse 11, if du et adonai beyura vigilu birada. Notice, if du et adonai, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Notice, if du is from the root avad, to serve. It is again a kal imperative, second person plural, masculine plural, meaning serve. So serve at, sign of the direct object, the Lord in fear. Be, preposition, followed by yira, the noun meaning fear. And I think the fear here is a reverential awe, that we're to serve the Lord with reverential awe and fear. Vigilu birada, and rejoice with trembling. Notice gilu is actually a biradical root. An ayin yod, we could say, gil, meaning rejoice, with the u, showing that we're looking at a cow imperative, second person plural. So rejoice, birada, with trembling. Notice the bait is the preposition with, or in. And ra'ada is the noun meaning trembling. Again, we're looking at a reverence. Instead of seeking the downfall of the Lord and His anointed, one is to do the opposite, stand in reverence before Him. And we could say, stand in reverence before the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 12, Nashku var, penya ano fetovadu deri, ki yivar kimat apo, ashrei kol chose vo. Notice the psalmist says, kiss the son. Nashku var. Nashku is from nashak, to kiss. Again, it is a PL, imperative, second person plural, masculine plural, from nashak. The A-class vowel, followed by the doubling of the sheen, puts it into the imperative. And var is a word, a rare word, that's used in Proverbs 30 for son. It's also an Aramaic word for son. In other words, nashku var. And I think he's being emphatic here by using an Aramaic word as well as a rare word in Hebrew. It'd be like saying, you throw in a Latin phrase. This is the summum bonum of everything. This is the highest good of everything. I think he's doing the same thing here, using an Aramaic word to make it emphatic. That is, kiss the bar, kiss the son. Also, had he used the word ben, which is the normal word for son, we would have had nashku ben pin. We would have had a ben pin kind of reading. And I believe we see a dissimilation here from ben pin to bar pin, and also a dissimilation to highlight the importance of bar, the Aramaic word. So kiss the son. Some want to translate this kiss with purity. Now, it is true that bar can mean purity. It's the same noun used of the pure in heart in Matthew 20 or in Psalm 24. However, I personally prefer the Aramaic and the rare word for son in Hebrew, found in Proverbs 30, of son. So kiss the son, lest he be angry. Pin yet enough that tovadu deri. Lest he be angry. Notice, yet enough is the cow imperfect. Third person singular from enough, to be angry. And, notice the vav here is just your conjunction. Tovadu is from avad, to perish. And notice it's what we call a pay aleph verb, where we have that O vowel because we're looking at it probably a dissimilation historically from, tevado to tovadu, the same kind of construction we have in Genesis 1, like in Vayomer. So as we would read this, it would be, and you perish. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you should perish in the way. Notice, tovadu is the cow imperfect from avad, to perish, and it's second person plural with the tav and the u, lest you perish. And we have to supply in, bet, in the way. So, bow down and kiss the son, lest you perish in the way, is the encouragement that is being given here by the psalmist, ki yivar kimat apo, when suddenly, because his wrath will spring up suddenly, as suddenly. And notice, ki is just the noun, or is the when, is the conjunction, when, his wrath is suddenly, when his wrath suddenly is kindled. When is kindled, suddenly his wrath. Yivar is the cow imperfect, third masculine singular from va'ar, to kindle, followed by kim'at, which is the adverb meaning suddenly, and af is the noun meaning wrath, and o is the pronominal suffix, his wrath. So when suddenly his wrath is kindled, happy then are all who take refuge in him. Notice ashrei is the plural. We saw that in Psalm 1, ashrei ha'ish, happinesses, from esher, meaning happiness. So happinesses come to all, and here we have a noun in construct with the tser yod, with kol chosevo, all who take refuge in him. All, again, is the adjective everyone. Jose is the participle, the cow active participle with the tser yod and the o class vowel from hus, to take refuge. So all who take refuge in him, and bo is the preposition followed by the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So happy are all who take refuge in him. Many Puritans used to conclude their sermons by saying, kiss the Son, bow down to Christ. He's the one that we're to give our allegiance to, and all of our worship, and all of our life to, because he is the reigning King who has conquered death, and who is anointed via the resurrection, and who is coming back someday as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we're to make sure we know him as our Savior and as our Lord, and we're to kiss Jesus Christ, the resurrected God-man, who as the second person of the triune Godhead, reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.